Hey, everybody. Welcome to Self Performance Solutions. Chris McCabe here. I'm with Daniela Boltzmann of Mindful Goods. Hello. How are you?
Feeling well. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome having you. We know you know your stuff. That's why you were a speaker recently at Accelerate. So I want to talk to you about that. And then I just want to get your general impressions about who you met with. How fruitful was it? Probably it was pretty rewarding to be there as a speaker and to schmooze with people and network. So I know that's what I was doing, but I wanted to get your take on it as well.
Yeah. So it was my first Amazon Accelerate. I didn't know what to expect. I think I underestimated how amazing it was going to be. And as a speaker, I think I have kind of a biased perspective, but what was great for me, or the value that I got out of it that made the entire thing worth it, was not just speaking. It was actually getting to meet the A+ team. So what I was speaking about was a lot about premium A+ content, and two of our clients were also invited to come speak with me, which is great. And so the A+ engineers and lead, product managers were there around the same time, because they were either also giving talks around premium A+ content, or they were there backstage to kind of watch the presentation. So getting to connect with them, getting to not just connect, but they were genuinely interested in the feedback that I had about the product. And so much so that they already scheduled calls with me to go over feedback sessions with them on how we can make the tools better. Like, how do we make manager experiments better? How do we make premium A+ better for our clients? Because that's the kind of tools that we're using day in and day out for brands on Amazon.
Yeah, that was my experience too, in terms of, and it was my first Accelerate, but I did get the sense that they want to make things better. And whether it was, and I missed your talk, I was up in Seller Cafe on that fifth floor level for like 75 to 90% of the time I was at Accelerate, because we were getting so much good work done, having good meetings. A lot of the sellers, like you, I invited clients to meet me at Accelerate, especially if they had listing or account issues. All of those in the last few weeks have been good follow-up, tidied up, fixed, resolved, which I didn't necessarily expect. I thought, maybe like 50% of these will get resolved during the conference, and the other 50% will kind of hammer away over the next few weeks. Not really. I mean, the stuff that we did, the follow-ups, of course, they don't solve everything for you right away, but some of them were fixed by the end of the conference, and some of them a couple weeks later. And now, what is it, 4 weeks later?
Yeah,
pretty much all of that has been taken care of. So I'm going to invite more people next year. Definitely going to go next year.
I mean, yeah, because you're saving your clients like millions of dollars the faster you can solve that problem for them.
So. For sure. And just refreshing that Amazon people follow back up with me without necessarily being chased or pestered. Like, hey, remember we had that conversation? What's the follow-up that you see that we can implement here? I mean, there was a little bit of that. But a lot of them were like really getting back to us within a few days of Accelerate. So yeah, that was a good experience. What, in terms of now it's a month later, what do you get from clients, brand owners, in terms of like, they're thinking about Q4, are they pushing you to come up with new, interesting, radical concepts? Are they trying to pick apart the last best ways of driving revenue, or is most of that kind of set in stone?
So what's interesting is this is always our busiest time of year. Although I push brands to do all of this that we're doing right now, I push them to do it in Q1 and Q2. Yeah. Q3 is really when we do our final big push on overhauls of an entire listing start to finish. Everything else outside of that, are brands that Q4 are brands that are preparing for Q1, really, because you should have been optimizing your content months ago for Q4. The reason for that is because if you try to upload content right now, so many things can go wrong. You have to do it piece by piece, really slowly, to make sure everything's going in your favor. I had a brand last year that updated their entire listing head to toe in the middle of the biggest part of the season. And we had told them not to, because we don't recommend it. But they were at a point in their business where the sales could only go up. Like, they were just like, rip off the Band-Aid. We just need to do something different. And thankfully, it played out in their favor, and they did increasing sales tremendously. So that's great. But there are a lot of stories that don't turn out that way. So I don't recommend it. If you are going to upload content, I still recommend doing it through manager experiments, because at least manager experiments is kind of like a filter where they do review the content manually, and they're going to let you know if it doesn't qualify. So they'll reject your experiment. So at least if you're going to upload a new main image, you can run it through an experiment during this busy season. And if it passes through there and you see increased sales right away, then go ahead and push it live. But other than that, other than using that for uploading, I'd be very careful during the uploading process. So we still do upload for clients, but we're very careful this time of year because we don't want them to have to call you.
Well, I figured there might be people who, and sometimes we get this on the appeal side of the equation, not quite the same thing, but I figured some people might contact you and say, I saw this post. Should we be doing that too? Maybe we should do that too. Maybe we'll double our sales. Maybe we'll triple our sales. And is it just like gimmicks or just YouTube videos? I'm not sure what's out there that's encouraging them to make last minute changes. I would assume it's all set heading into late October. Like you're already kind of firing on all cylinders, but maybe there are things they ask you about that they want to fix or they think it's a tweak and you have to lecture them like this is not a tweak.
Yeah. I think you can make little changes and it's safe. Like if you're just wanting to change the order of your image stack or change, run some tests, like that's still okay. But even running tests at this time of year, the data is going to be a little bit biased if you're in anything giftable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for us, like we started running split tests with brands back in Q1. So they would be ready for Q4. And those types of brands, like you won't be able to compete with them. It's untouchable because that's the way they think about building their brand is they invested in a refresh sometime during Q1, Q2. And then we gave them a series of split tests that they should be running and they continued to run those tests. So they already saw incremental gains leading up to Q4. So by the time Q4 is here, they're set, you know?
Yeah. And they listen to you and they probably worked with the same people for years, right?
Actually, no. Yeah. We work with new brands every year. We have about 10 to 20% come back year after year after they go through a brand refresh themselves and they need us to refresh the content on Amazon. But yeah, it varies. So right now, Q4, I think clients have realistic expectations, or at least we reset their expectations coming in that for us, it's not effective to do a rush order for you to have something for the holidays because it's a dangerous time to be uploading things. Let's just do things right. Upload your content in stages safely. And for us, a bulk of our clients, I would say at least 50% of our clients are CPG. So Q1 is really going to be the time that they're going to focus on their sales.
Yeah. So people are willing to focus on Q1, even though this is peak sales season for a lot of them. They're willing to look that far ahead and follow your guidance, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if it's food products, everybody's looking for dieting, better food products in January, February, because they want to change their lifestyle.
Hopefully not just 2 months a year.
That's when everybody makes their New Year's resolution. So
I'm completely backwards on that. October has become my month for that for
Me
some
too.
Reason.
It I just over October.
I should have done that.
What'd you do?
When I was in Korea, I was drinking a lot of soju, which is, you know, like in Japan, they have sake. In Korea, they have soju. So
yeah.
I wasn't going to miss that. That had to happen in October. Quick aside, I was recently at the Seller Kingdom Conference in Seoul, but the conference was the last couple of days of September, and I spent the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks of October traveling around different parts of Korea working remotely. So I got to eat different things, drink different things. And some of those things were alcohol. So I couldn't be 100% sober. But for whatever reason, October has become my like physical fitness, physical activity, staying in shape, getting back in shape month. I don't know how that happened, but it just happened. I think it's because I had one of those apps with the trainer, you know? Picked it up during COVID and kept it and never had an in-person fitness instructor or trainer. And in October of last year is when they were finally like, oh, I can't do this work anymore. And I was cut loose and on my own. So I started managing it myself.
How's that working out for you?
I could be making some improvements, but this is the month for me. This is the month for me to improve.
That's good.
My energy level. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. When I'm sitting down to write appeals all day on my laptop, right? Perfect time to be getting back into shape. Any other words of wisdom? Any other suggestions you have for people who not necessarily coming to you in a panic, but maybe they want to plan 6 months ahead. Maybe they are looking to test different products in terms of timing, in terms of, I mean, do you approach each category differently? What do you give them in terms of like a battle plan for like looking 6 to 9 months ahead?
I think you need to look at content as part of an annual refresh that you do in a 90-day period. And because great content is not done at Fiverr speeds. It's not done overnight. If you want content that's going to perform, you need to be split testing along the way, both off of Amazon with tools like Pixoo and Intellivy and Product Pinion, And then you need to be testing on Amazon platform to understand if it's validated on Amazon and if the sales are working. And then let's say you do see some positive results, then you can scale it out onto the rest of your catalog.
Yeah.
So let's say month one, you're focused on all your hypotheses around one parent ASIN. Month two, you've proven some of that. Month three, you're able to roll it out and maybe refresh your store. And so that's really going to take at least 90 days, like realistically, to do that really well. And that's what we see. Month one, one SKU. Month two, testing and some expansion into the rest of the catalog. Month three, the rest of the catalog and the storefront. And once you've done that, you've done, let's say, 80% of the lift for the year. Then you're going to start split testing beyond that, all the other hypotheses that came up during that. So maybe you want to test the video at the top of your A+ content, or you want to test adding some us versus them banners into your A+, or maybe you want to test some other things that you think might help increase conversions, right? Those are like the little bits and pieces that you tweak over time where brands are seeing those incremental gains throughout the year. And that's what gets them ready for Q4. The other question I get quite a bit is, should I be refreshing my images for the holiday time? Should I be doing like Christmas images and whatever?
Putting a Christmas tree in the background.
Right. Okay. For some brands, I get it. Like for some brands, it works, right? Because it's a highly giftable product. But for some other types of products, it just makes no sense whatsoever that you're putting a pumpkin behind your product. You know what I mean? Like it just is kind of weird and it makes your product seem cheap. So I think if you're going to do it, you want to think through the lens that makes it work for your brand and that's not confusing the customer, and make it in a sense that's maybe showing that it's a gift. And this is the kind of things that you shouldn't have to change every single image on your catalog to do. It could be a matter of just swapping out one image here and there. And then in your storefront, you can have versions of your storefront. So you could have your Valentine's Day version of your storefront. You could have your Halloween version of your storefront. And you could switch to your Christmas version of your storefront. And maybe it gets outdated from year to year and you need to tweak a couple things to freshen it up and make it apply to this year's Christmas. But that's the way I would look at refreshing your content, is trying to think of like, what is on brand for us that would be a nice holiday touch without being overly cheesy? And then what is the point of infusing the holiday? What is the point of it? Like a good example is like Burt's Bees. They sell chapsticks and all of these different like products that are really great giftable items for the holidays, and people put them as stocking stuffers. So yeah, you would want to show a stocking stuffer image in that sense. You would want to infuse some holiday vibes and get people in the mindset of gifting those types of things. But if you don't have a giftable product, then I don't know. Sometimes it's just a little cheesy and it confuses the shopper. So it might not be worth it.
Well, it just looks like you're trying to relentlessly milk a few extra sales just for a trendy reason. And there's no connection. Like you said, the stocking stuffer, that there is a connection, that makes sense. But just willy-nilly, whatever, I want to just try to exploit a holiday. Maybe it doesn't work for everything.
Yeah. I did see one recently that was like, somebody was saying, oh, this brand did such a great job of, it was like a lotion beef tallow for your face, a product that I've actually bought. Okay. So their product listing worked on me. I went from TikTok to Amazon, bought this product. And one of the badges on their main images said viral on TikTok or whatever. And so I knew it was the right one instantly from that. And the packaging matched. But somebody had highlighted them on LinkedIn saying they're doing such a great job. And then one of the images in their image stack showed like the product is sitting there with like pumpkins around it. And I was like,
I love
it. This just makes no sense. Like if I was a new shopper and didn't know anything about this product whatsoever, I'd be like, oh, is this a pumpkin scented face product? Which it wasn't. So that's where that can actually hurt your conversion.
Good point. That's a good example. So, I mean, you had meetings with A+ content people. You're out going to see them, talk to them, you know, ongoing in the future. To the extent that you can talk about what you talked about, are you just kind of encouraged with the engagement? Are there any bits and kernels of things you can share in terms of something that might help people who are trying to get A+ content right next year in ways they didn't this year? Anything along those lines?
Yeah, I think it's actually one step before that. I think most brands don't know that they have free access to premium A+ content right now. And one thing I didn't share at Amazon Accelerate that I'll share here because I can, is that vendors are still having to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to get access to premium A+ content. And seller central brands that are brand registered are getting access for free. Everyone gets access for free right now. I don't know if Amazon's going to offer this forever. It's been available the last at least year, maybe a little bit longer, maybe year and a half. And to qualify, I think that's what's confusing people, is that the language that they're using to meet the qualifications is a little confusing. That you have to submit, it used to be 15, now it's 5 versions of your A+ content, or 5 submissions, not versions. And so it went from 15 to 5, so it's even easier. And you have to have a brand story uploaded and applied to every ASIN in your catalog. Those two parts are confusing. One, upload a brand story doesn't mean you have to design a full brand story. You can literally upload a lifestyle image to the background and a lifestyle image to the foreground thing and put a little bit of text and just submit it. Okay. Don't worry about designing something pretty and fancy. Just submit it. Once it's approved, add it to every single ASIN in your catalog. Once that's done, then to get access to premium A+, you need to submit A+ content. I think it's 5 times within 12 months or something like that. So that part confuses people because they think they have to have 5 different ASINs. So a brand with only 3 products thinks, oh, I don't qualify because I have to have 5. That's not true. So you can upload A+ content on 1 ASIN. And again, you can use the same strategy. You don't have to design your A+ content. If you don't have it designed yet, just take a lifestyle image, upload it as 1 banner to A+. Nothing designed. You're just uploading a banner to A+ and you're submitting it. Then Amazon approves it. And then you say duplicate, submit, duplicate, submit, duplicate, submit, duplicate, submit. You do that 5 times, check back in a week. It should be unlocked. Now, when you go to your A+ section, it should say basic A+, premium A+, brand story. That's what should happen within 7 days of doing that step. If it still doesn't unlock for you after the duplicate submit 5 times, do it 15 times. Sometimes in some categories, it's sticky. I don't know why. It's sticking to the old requirement instead of the 5.
Right. Or can they just approach you and get your help to figure out what the bottleneck is because you have contact with those people? Or
so that's if you absolutely have not been able to get it unlocked. Like I said, we've been able to unlock it for all of our clients this year. Up until this month, we've had 4 problem clients that are having issues with it. But it's also because they have multiple brands inside of one account. So getting the brand story applied to the ASIN is a little complicated, a lot more complicated. So we have to work that out with Amazon.
Cool. That's a good note to end on. I'm glad you mentioned all of that. Anyone wants to reach you, best way to do so?
Head to mindfulgoods.co. And if you scroll down to the bottom of our website, we have this thing called a mini audit, which if anybody wants myself or someone from my team to take a look at their listing and give them a quick Loom video assessment of the things that we would work on in order to improve conversions on their listing, that's the best place to go. It's called a mini audit. And that's where I recommend every client gets started with us to see if it's a fit in working with us.
Cool. Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us today, Daniela Bolzman, Mindful Goods. And thanks everyone for listening. We will catch you next time.
Thanks, Chris.